You are listening to Around Comics, episode 220, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Afro Samurai, Smuggling Spirits, and Netflix. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by.
There's like 19 people in the store
today. It is crazy busy in here. And I think there's even
nine.
Some people. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't 5, have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And 2 dogs.
And 2. It's not impressive.
Oh, for okay. us. Yeah, for
when it's all relative.
When it's like 2 freaking degrees outside. So.
Sorry.
Hey there, folks. I'm Christopher Niesman. Let me get you introduced to this week's panel. It is a redo from last week, our same panel. Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello.
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 That's more restrained podcast Hello. This week.
We're feeling mellow.
Yeah, just chilled out, man.
Yeah, we turned the lights
just
down.
Just wake up or whatever.
Yeah, I like to create the illusion.
It was taking
I like
a
to
nap.
Create an illusion that time has
in
passed between episodes.
Oh,
you know,
right. Okay.
So it's a different.
Yeah, so it's I have
a week. A week has
now.
Passed
yeah,
out
a week
there.
Has passed.
In
Super
the real
Bowl's
world.
Over.
Yeah, how about them?
Man,
it was surprising.
It was. I was amazed.
I didn't like the commercials, and halftime was too long.
Yeah.
Oh, but Bruce Springsteen
rocked it.
Oh, terrible.
Well, when are they going to stop having like old white guys do the Super Bowl? All because we saw
Janet
Jackson's breast. We only have to have white guys over the age of 50 play. Like Paul McCartney, Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen.
They had Prince.
Prince was awesome.
Prince rocked it.
They should just have Prince do it
every year.
The Stones did a good job, though. You know, I thought they did a good job. Tom Petty, you know, I like Tom Petty, but some people were complaining. But
Petty's the shit.
I mean, I don't want to see Jennifer Hudson or Mariah Carey at halftime.
I'll take Beyonce.
Didn't they have Rob Lowe 1 year with the Disney thing at halftime? I wanted to kill myself.
And at the rate we're going, you know,
I wanted to saw my head off.
It's gonna be Van. It's gonna be Van Morrison at this point.
Yeah. it's overreaction.
Should they have like Rick Springfield.
You would think by now they would have calmed down.
I don't even think they should have a halftime show.
Just do a normal. You know what the halftime show at the first Super
Howie
Bowl
Long?
Was?
Oh, what?
A dude with a jetpack.
There you go. That would rock.
Wouldn't
cool.
that be awesome?
Take that.
That's cool. Yeah.
You bring that back.
You put that. You put that dude in a tiger costume with a bow tie, and now we're talking.
Takitani in a jetpack. That's awesome. Come on.
Well, let me introduce our guest, returning from last week, Mr. Sal Abernathy.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for making it all the way back here for the second week.
Yep. It's pretty cold out.
It's still
it's
cold.
Like The it's Exorcist outside. It's pretty bad. Pretty rough.
I'm tired of it. I'm pretty sick of it this
I'm
year.
At that time of the year where,
it needs to be done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You still got like 2 months ahead of you.
You curse your ancestors for moving here, that kind of shit. You know, what were they thinking?
They moved from cold places.
My parents moved from, Texas to here. Yeah. What the fuck were you thinking?
All I heard about was jobs. We came for
jobs. Couldn't find a job.
Guys, come on.
To be farmers in Wisconsin.
Yeah. You didn't come to, be a neurosurgeon. You came to, work on a
streetcar.
They don't have streetcars in Florida or West Coast.
Let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a great selection of trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, showcases, essentials, omnibus, absolute editions. And
I never
more.
Read them. They pile up and I never read them.
No,
the absolute editions, I buy them and I'm all excited.
You're in one.
Yeah, but I just bought the Ronin one because I really liked Ronin when it came out. You know, nice colors and sitting at my coffee table. You know, looks good.
I have all four of the Sandman absolutes, which are beautifully
they're
put together.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't even opened.
And you don't. It's like the Chris Ware stuff. I own all of it. Can't tell you I read it. It looks good on your coffee table.
You've read a couple pages.
Makes you look intelligent, but I can't figure out what the hell's going on.
Well, I don't know that you have to make a date with the absolute because you have to sit in a situation where you can open this giant book.
Yeah.
You can't just. I can't take my absolute watchman with me on the train and just pull it out of my bag and
That was. From, we went
too much.
We went to New York 2 years ago,
oh,
and
God.
I caught so much shit from these guys because George Perez was going to be at that show. So I brought my absolute.
No, it wasn't the fact that you just brought your absolute.
No, it wasn't just that.
Seven giant hardcover absolute.
Are you the guy like with the where I see with the like the carts?
No. Well, at the I'm the guy that you saw with the 85 pound bag at the airport.
And the like, what do you think over 50 goddamn luggage piece.
You
got to
ship it ahead. I'm lazy. I ship it ahead. To the hotel.
How many shows do you do in a year usually?
Except in this time of the year because it's slow. I usually when spring starts, I do like one a month.
Okay.
And then in the fall, I do. I used to do Angoulême every year, which is this weekend, but I didn't do it this year. And then I do Lucca and I do Angoulême, and then nothing until New York. And then I do WonderCon, and then I skipped Emerald, and I do Mocha, and obviously Chicago and San Diego and Toronto,
and
of course you guys, Windy City Con. Yeah, but with you guys, it's like I don't even consider it a con because it's such a good time. Cons to me are usually mean dread. It's work. I got to get on planes. You got to glan hand and you got to bullshit. But with Windy City Con, it's like you're there, everybody's having a good time. They got Jim Beam out.
It's like going to your friend's house and there's 80 creators.
No, it's like an art festival. You know, it's like a bunch of guys hanging out. All you need is like, you know, hippies. You need that you know, one boot. You know, every con's got that one boot that's like ye old.
I like the end of it. Fair, run
and you got last one year WonderCon in San Francisco, they had me next to ye old and they had like a 400-pound woman in chainmail breastfeeding a kid.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Yeah. So I was
like they used to.
I was like, lady, come on. You know, I understand it's all that Renaissance.
Put that Joker away.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just you didn't know where shit ended and shit started. It was disgusting.
Is that the baby's head?
Yeah. And the lady got all mad at me. She's like, oh, it's so natural and beautiful. And I said, yeah, but so's masturbation. But I don't do it at my booth at the con.
You know? Well, my favorite thing about those booths is like they're selling all this stuff and then they'll sell like a notebook in an old style. Like,
yeah.
Oh, leather. So like 300.
They stitch the spine and they say $350 because it's like, ye old.
Yeah,
it's and like, the guy, he's always got the high top. The knee-high, what is it, the moccasins?
Yeah, moccasins.
Yeah, you know. And they smell like a wild animal. And you walk by the booth, and it's like a bait store. It just stinks, and they're all, everything. They just put, like I said, ye olde in front of it. Well,
they should be next to the sword people.
Yeah. And they sell keychains. There were no keys, you know, car keys in those days.
Giant keys
when you were
in a ring.
Yeah, there were no car keys in those
little
days.
Tiny
and they always put me next to those guys, and I chose, and I always, oh. It's disgusting.
Well, we've decided that the Windy City show will never be official until we have a sword vendor.
Yeah, and you got to make the announcement now. At the beginning of the show, for insurance reasons, they have to disclaim that you can't walk around with them out. And you can't
keep your swords all weapons sheathed.
Yeah, exactly. You got to keep it in the packaging because there's idiots that are running around, you know, yeah.
No, I don't think we're gonna have.
I don't think we're ever going to have.
As much as I enjoy.
No, you gotta have the. You're not an official con. You're not an official con until you got the 400-pound, you know, Klingon guy with the brown, where he just puts rouge on his forehead, and it's dripping because he's sweating and he's wearing spandex and he's got, you know, these big tits and he's a big guy, and I got in a fight with a guy about 4 years ago at San Diego because this big 500-pound guy. You know, dressed as a Klingon. What was the guy with the tire on their head?
Is it Klingons?
Is it a Klingon? He's got the shit on his forehead.
He was like a hybrid.
He was the only guy getting laid, and he was on it, and it was him, right? So I'm in there, and he comes crashing into me. He almost knocks me down, and you've got to go to the bathroom in San Diego. It's vile because there's 3 inches of piss on the floor in the bathroom. And he calls me human scum when he bumps into me.
Well, he's in character. Once he puts that on.
He's a method.
And
that's what I said to him. I told him, I said, hey, man, I don't know where you come up with that Federation bullshit or whatever, but I says, I'll kick the shit out of you and throw you down a flight of stairs. And then all of a sudden he got back to reality and realized that he just almost knocked. He didn't like bump into me. He ran into me. And he's just shit flying everywhere and he's lactating and there's brown makeup and it's all dripping and it's disgusting and it's like, man, you need to go home at that point. And the ass juice in the back of the costume is building up and it's like it's high all the way up his back.
He's sweating
and he's calling me names. He's calling me I'm human scum. And I'm like, you know, you guys got to remember that it's just a costume.
So you aren't a Klingon.
Yes, and your pistol doesn't work. Yeah, your pistol doesn't work. You know.
So what you're saying is that you have really come to embrace the convention experience.
Yes, yes. They just if we could do something about just the odor, it would work out great. And how people can't hit the bowl at cons, I have a problem with. Every time you go into a stall, there's just bowl painting going on everywhere. There's just shit everywhere. It's like Twirlo paints, and you know,
the Windy City Show. Nice facility, the center on Halstead.
Destroy
it. They backed up the toilet.
Probably destroyed it. Yeah. It happens at every. I was at a con. It was.
They're not eating healthy.
San Diego. But you go into bathrooms and you see these you know these fanboys and God love them, but they sit on the floor in the bathroom. And the bathrooms are they're horrible. Yeah, I mean, literally, I mean, you got to throw your shoes away when you leave cons. I mean, because it's just like I said, 3 inches of piss, and it's just endless
just
amounts.
Sitting there, reading
it's awful.
But you don't know what you're doing.
Yes, the bathrooms turn into a Blade Runner because they get all drippy and sweaty and it's hot and they stink. And
dystopia.
You know, and you just get to a point where you go, guys, can't you guys, you know, you can't even, you know,
how
use
long
a bathroom.
Been going to cons? How many years now?
Oh, too long. I started going to Chicago Con in the 70s when it was still at the YMCA on Chicago Avenue.
Wow.
That was before it moved to the Congress, and then it was at the Pitt Congress on Michigan, and then they moved it out to
Playboy.
La La Land.
Started at Playboy Tower, right?
Yeah. I only knew when it was at the YMCA in Chicago, then it was at the Congress over on Michigan and Congress, and then I was in college. I was over, you know, and I was living in LA for a while going to school, and then it was at Rosemont. Always on the 4th of July weekend. Always.
Real wow, they've changed that a lot then.
Oh, Wizard has let that show go to shit though. They've really, you know, they don't spend any money on it anymore, and they keep doing the same things, but yet they're trying to get different results, and it's just they don't.
Isn't that the definition of insanity?
They don't want to spend any money. They don't want to bring in the guests. They fired their press agent. You know, they used to get the live remotes. You know, the news people there. They don't have a press guy anymore. They don't want to pay to bring in guests. I mean, they list the same three guys as guests of honor who are coming anyway.
Right.
When you list Quesada and John Cassaday,
they're going to be there.
They're going to be there no matter what. I mean, Cassaday, if you know, you buy him a Slim Jim, he'll show up. You know, and Quesada's coming if you get him a hotel room because and they list that as guests.
Well, looks like we got two new guests to target for the Windy City Show.
Like I said, you have the same guest list year after year after year. Yeah. You know, and guys like that aren't necessarily bringing people back to shows or bringing new people to a show because I've seen them three times in a row.
Yeah.
You know,
you
know, I've gone to six cons in a year and seen the same, you know, Joe Quesada. How many times are you going to see Joe
Quesada?
That's
what I'm saying. I mean, even Kevin Smith doesn't go anymore. Kevin Smith dropped off because he said he was tired of the same Saturday show.
Yeah.
Even though he would do the Q&As and he would do great, but he just got tired of the same show.
Yeah.
And it just got to a point where, you know, I've talked to Wizard, and as an exhibitor, they started to treat the exhibitors poorly. And you also have to kind of discriminate of who you're going to let open a booth. I mean, you got to have somebody that's comic-related.
Mm-hmm.
A little.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I understand you got to sell spaces, but when you got a guy selling aluminum siding next to you, you go, what is this guy doing?
Well, I mean,
my storm windows with your back issues. I don't want to, you know.
That's one of the things with our show, and I don't want to keep coming back to it, but we tried to make in the first
$10 year register.
A show. we tried to make a show that we would enjoy to go to, and that was having more creators, like 3-1, actually 4-1 over exhibitors, and the exhibitors that were there, we wanted them to be comic book related or at least geek culture related.
Yeah.
And it's tough, but you know, sometimes the Chicago Wizard Show gets a little bit of a bad rap. It's kind of become in vogue to pile onto that show because, well, it's Wizard and it,
well, I think, and it has a, I, no, 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 not at all. I mean,
fans that come to it, I think, still like it. It's just a matter of, you know, when you work the show, when you
I've been setting up there as an exhibitor for 10 years, you know, and it's hometown, and I'll always support anything that's hometown. But
I want to love that show so much.
Why am I going to invest? You have to. Why am I going to invest money in your show when I don't see you investing any money in your show?
Right.
You're not bringing. I mean, little things they could do. Like they used to advertise. They killed all their advertising. A press agent could get you free press. They used to have Fox in the morning there, and the other guy with the live remote there, and a guy interviewing the stormtrooper, and all that other. You know, that stuff brings in bodies.
Well, we do now.
And you know, you gotta. you gotta show me at least you're trying, so that I can. You know, and in the past, Wizard just kind of would shrug their shoulders, and they wouldn't bring any. You know, they used to bring in at least one big media guest. You know, somebody from a big popular TV show, which helps a lot. I mean, some people don't care for it. I know. You know, some people are like, oh, it should be more about comics. But in the end, you got to get bodies through the door.
Sure.
Otherwise, they can't pay for, you know. And as an exhibitor, they treated us really badly because he started that horrible wrestling thing. Or,
I remember the wrestling thing,
And he put me right across from a wrestling booth from the ring. You know, and you got guys yelling in microphones. I'm going, guys, a microphone amplifies your voice. You don't have to yell into the microphone. And he's you shouldn't, and they're interviewing guys that nobody knows, and they're fighting nobody, and nobody ever heard of, and then he's telling me, well, you shouldn't talk to us like that, because it's Ultimate Fighting. I go, well, guys, what do you want from me? You know, I'm here trying to, you know, do business, and you're over here with a guy, you know, showing how to put a guy in a headlock.
Well,
I don't want that.
It became a strange mixture of things that they were just attempting to do to I don't know. I mean, just to try and drum up any business.
Well, he invested a lot of money in it. He lost his shirt,
One of my major beefs with a lot of conventions, and this isn't just Wizard. I've seen it at other shows, but it's one of the reasons that I actually like the Emerald City Con so much, is that the emphasis was...
there you go.
Coffee?
The emphasis was...
He really likes coffee.
You're in Seattle, and there you go.
But the emphasis at the Emerald City show was really put on the creators. And at the Chicago show out at Rosemont, it's like you have to kind of go through a baton death march to get to Artist Alley.
Yeah.
And a weird video game section. Yeah. Lots of video game sections go through the retailers, which are an important part of a show. But then the fact that the artists are like in the back.
At the ass end of the,
farthest point from coming in, sort of.
It's to go through the big booths and then the big retailers, and then you end up at Ye Olde Place.
Would you like to buy an old fashioned keychain?
No, I want to get past you and get to Ethan Van Sciver, who's sitting right there. You know,
would you like an old fashioned sketchbook?
It's just like I said, I don't like to pile on Wizard because I can because everybody I knew there's gone. They let everybody go.
There's not much to pile on.
Literally every person I knew editorially and otherwise is gone. They trimmed the staff down to nothing. But, you know, I don't want to see the Wizard show, but everybody, their first complaint was it's not in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's in Rosemont. And, you know, it used to be in Chicago, and every time I would say that to Wizard, they would say, well, it'd cost too much to put it in Chicago. Well, they said the same thing about New York. They said no one's going to start a show in New York because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's done pretty well. From an exhibitor's point of view, it is expensive. I mean, it's, you know, Teamsters, it's just licensed, you know, it's just robbery without a gun, man, with the Teamsters. And... You know, Reed, when they started...
We appreciate all of our Teamsters. Please don't come find us.
Teamsters, man, you guys have never done shows, man. In New York, at the New York Con, you have to pay three times for electricity.
Oh, sure.
I swear to God. Oh. You get electric at your booth.
It works, doesn't it?
No. You have to pay the guy. You have to pay the guy to hook it up.
To plug it in.
Then there's the other guy to plug it in. And the third guy to turn it on.
In Wizard's defense, in Chicago, the convention unions there are not much better. It's very difficult
from an exhibitor's point of view, that's why everybody said you'll never get a New York show because exhibitors, I mean... Retailers, from a retailer point of view, everything is more expensive. A guy coming in from who's got a comic store in New Jersey, or whatever, who's got to bring in a van full of long boxes and other stuff. It's $175 for a table, you know, and it's $65 for a chair and $900 for carpeting and hotels and parking. It's $65 a day to park your car at the hotel. So they said it'll never work. So Reed said, cons are 5-year plans that you don't plan on making any money the first 5 years. But if after 5th year you're not at least in the black, then they got to kill it. That's right. What they told me. But they told me they signed another deal with the Javits, so it's going to be in April from now on. You
good.
Know,
good.
Not going.
April was nice.
April
last
was great.
Year.
April worked out fantastic.
February, 2 years
I thought
ago,
it was fucking cold. Oh,
February was
no,
bad.
No, you were there in
February.
February was
rough. And waiting for a cab when you get out of there, man. It's like,
oh, man.
You're like Kurt Russell in The Thing waiting for a cab.
Wishing you had a flamethrower.
Just fucking brutal.
I was staying at the New Yorker, and that's not a fun walk when it's 10 degrees out. So that's a rough.
I've decided I don't walk any longer. Fuck that shit.
I stayed at
fucking give me a cab. Yeah, a bicycle, fucking anything.
8th, and it was right out of Midnight Cowboy. I swear to God. I was like, what the fuck? It was like Taxi Driver. I walk out and Jodie Foster.
You looking at me?
Jodie Foster was there with hot pants on and everything. And I was like, jeez.
It was 1979.
Comic Con.
What's your favorite con that you've ever been to? And it would be, you know, like...
For different reasons?
Like specific year.
I used to enjoy it more when I wasn't working as much. Now, San Diego used to be just one big party, and now San Diego is like 2% partying and like 98% work.
Yeah.
It's become like the Sundance Film Festival, that show. But when it used to be able, you know, 20 of us in a hotel room, and we would go with no money and just, you know, with your portfolios and just hanging out, then they were a good time. But I would say probably Luca is my favorite show in Italy.
Oh, well, okay. That's
no, for
be easy to,
for a while.
Easy
no,
like a
not, not for not for any stupid pretentious reasons like people that always claim they like jazz who never do and they just want to look intelligent or Chris Ware and they claim they like Chris Ware and they never read him. The Lucas show is a lot like what we talked about. It's just a bunch of artists that set up in these tents, and it's an art festival. It's run by the Art Festival Chamber of Commerce of Italy, and it's just meant to be nothing more than a bunch of guys at, in a bunch of tents. And, you know, who are all artists, and it's local, you know, small Italian artists, American guys, and stuff like that. And it's got that vibe of why you got into comics, because you love it as an art form, and less about, hey, you know, it's $175 for a table.
You know, maybe we should try and tap into some of this bailout, or not the bailout, but the relief package, and tie Windy City into like National Endowment for the Arts. Say that it's an art festival.
I mean, that's a lot of what you get.
I'm thinking
shows.
For $1 million, we could put together a great show.
Do you now? Do you guys work with the City Hall at all with your show? I mean,
we try and stay away from the city as far as possible right now.
Involved in the
Shit's gold. Yeah. These tables are gold. You can't get this away.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons that we have it at the center is because
a little secret. We really don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're
I keep waiting. I keep waiting
give
for somebody.
Give us your $10.
I keep waiting for somebody to tap us on the shoulder.
We just know a bunch of people that actually have talent. We get them all in a fucking room and charge other
people. Yeah, but that's the best way to do it. I mean, the assholes who know everything, those are the worst types because they know everything.
Stan Lee made a whole career.
And you can't tell them anything.
Yeah.
Just taking credit for shit other people did.
How does Atomica do overseas in Europe?
It does good. I mean, it does. I mean, you don't expect to make any money because once you got to work with a publisher and a distributor over there, and if you're not willing to translate it, you know, like the French,
right.
they don't translate our stuff for 6 months. Anything American, they get it quick, but there's some hardcore people. They want French versions, and when they translate it and they got your files, you're never going to get any money. Because they're going to say, oh, you know.
It cost us this.
Right. We had to buy crepes, and it was expensive.
The translator needed
gold. My beret fell off when I was adding them, you know. And I don't,
there are many, many croissants involved.
So it's cool. You see it over there. You see guys in French saying, you know, telling me how they hate it in French. But you're not going to get any money.
But what about when you do the con? Like when you
it's
do,
nice,
you
know? But see, European cons, it's all about they expect free shit. You
got, really?
Artists got to do free sketches for everybody.
Really?
There. Oh, yeah. They'll sit there all day, but they expect free stuff. Really? So all the artists know when you agree to do a European show, you got to do
free
drawings
sketches
for people. You have to do them. Yeah. They'll sit there all day.
No shit.
Samurai's Samuel L. Jackson returns in the sequel to the best-selling anime of 2007, Afro Samurai Resurrection. Afro Samurai avenged his father and found a life of peace, but a beautiful and deadly woman is forcing him back into the game. Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Lucy Liu, with new beats from the RZA featuring 2 hours of extras. Get the Blu-ray and DVD on February 3rd. Afro Samurai Resurrection. One brother, one path, 1,000 deaths.
Visit AfroSamurai.com for more details.
Well, hey, I want to have a little break in the action here, because speaking of artists, we have one of our other Chicago area artists that I wanted to give a chance to sit down with us for just a second. Eric Rose, if you remember, dropped by several months ago whenever the first issue of the Roberts came out, and the Roberts trade is coming back or coming out this Wednesday. So Eric dropped by, and so he was going to tell everyone about the Roberts.
I'll get up. I'll stand.
Okay.
I'll stand. I got to go to the bathroom anyway.
All right.
Bye, Tom.
I'll be paying attention. Don't worry.
Have a seat, Eric. And thanks for coming by. How you doing, man? It's good to see you.
Good
so
to see you.
It's been a little party here. Sal, Eric, Sal.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you.
Sal, Eric, Sal.
Had you met Eric before?
No, I don't believe
you were
I
at that episode, around, huh?
Yeah, I don't think I was at that episode, no.
Okay.
In fact, I know I wasn't at that episode. But
you know, can I say something about the convention stuff that you guys were talking about?
Sure.
You know, the money that you pay to walk in the door to go to a convention, like, that money is the way that you go see original artwork for people. And I know that for me personally, if I didn't go to some of like these little tiny cons that were around where I grew up, like, there's no way I would have gone to art school. There's no way that I would have done a book. None of that stuff would have happened, because you can't go to a gallery and you can't see, you know, there's no way to see illustration work in galleries.
Yeah.
There's no way to see comic book stuff.
And talk to the guy. It's very instrumental to be able to, the first guy I talked to, Ernie Chan, was like the first guy as a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That I got, and he was the nicest, sweetest guy, and it had such an impact on your life to say, hey, he's a guy that'll talk to you. He's not like...
Absolutely.
Last year at Wizard World, my cousin's kid, has shown an interest in art, but he sort of, you know, doesn't know what the fuck to do about it. He doesn't have any understanding of what he can do with it.
Right.
And so, you know, come out with me, bring him to Wizard World Chicago. I'll take you to Artist Alley. I know a bunch of artists, and you can talk to him.
Just talk.
And he just, like, blew him away. Like, opened his eyes to this whole other world. It's like, wow, these people actually, you know.
And it's not as hard as it used to put out your own book.
Yeah.
Like desktop publishing and that. Used to be, you know, if you didn't have a print run of, you know, 25,000.
Kablam.
Printers wouldn't talk to you. And now you could do black and white. You could do...
Print on demand.
Oh, it used to be, you know, 20 grand to do a color book. Now you could do a color book, you know, for a few thousand dollars.
Lulu.com. I mean, you can do, you know, print on demand stuff.
What I tell guys to do.
L. Dave, where'd he go?
Just get in.
Oh, there he is. He's got a book.
You got to dive in, man. You really do.
Well, it's like with everything being trades now, like, nobody's looking for back issues anymore.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's what the conventions used to be a lot of, you know, going and trying to find that one issue of that book you can't get anywhere else, getting the deals and all that kind of stuff. But now it's, you know, take advantage, and they should be having so many artists at these things, because that's
what
we
were amazed at. I mean, we heard over and over again last year from the Windy City Con of how many people did really well, how many of the artists, you know, we're drawing all day long and just
I sold everything I had.
And they were just amazed at how much...
Oh, every comic I brought was gone,
People were spending money on art and on books and on everything, you know what I mean? So it was... I think it's a different, you know, kind of world from what it used to be, but you still have that mentality of, like...
And it's hard, because I get in arguments with people about San Diego, because a lot of people have been turned off by San Diego because of what it's become. And
the media.
How hard it is to get the rooms, and last year Paris Hilton's walking around, and there's that kind of thing. But on the same token, I'm like, I'm the guy that, you know, when I started in the 90s, it was crazy. There were guys making millions of dollars doing, you know, and then at the bottom.
The image tent.
Billy Tucci with She, you know, he was showing up with a different motorcycle every year. These guys were making money.
Flame pots, crazy, lining up, sketch gets finished.
Yeah, no, he had Tina Carrera at the booth. She was going to be She in the movie, whatever. And then it was one of those things where then the bottom fell off because of all the speculatory buying and all the bullshit with the death of Superman and all that. And then, so, like, it's kind of like, it's good, because at least it's bringing attention to comics, you know, because of the movies and all that. But it's still one of those things where it's not going to be like that forever. Everything is a cycle. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, you know, with the attention that comics are getting from the movies, it's more the characters and the icons that are getting the attention, the actual books... I mean, I think there's definitely been a bit of a growth from the movies. There are people that are reading stuff that probably weren't before, that kind of thing. But it's not, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not going to last. And I don't think it's the huge boom that it was, you know, or that people maybe think it is.
In the end, you really got to do it because you love it.
Yeah,
you know, sure. You have to. I mean, it's like, that's why, you know, you got it in your blood. You have to do it. Because if you get into it, I know a lot of, well, not a lot, but I know some publishers, small, now the Vogue thing with small publishers, some guys, is they start up a book to get a development deal, which is just bullshit, because everybody I know,
there's entire publishers
option,
out there that,
yeah, I love options, the word option. Everybody's got an, every time we, right now we have a conversation.
Option, I think.
I mean, when Atomica first came out, I met with like Joel Silver's assistant guy. I don't even know what the hell he was. He was this guy, was a horrible human being. He was like Satan. You know? And he took me to lunch, and he was, you know, I kid you not, this guy was Satan. And he's there with his phone and his Rolex, and he's going on and on, and he's like, I don't know what the hell Atomica is about, but I like it.
I haven't really read it, but I like how it looks.
No. And it was just, there's that, and I'm like, so I could have ran around and said, hey, I got an option, until you see a check. It's all conversation.
Well, and even options.
And even when you get a check, you know, they'll give you a check for $400. I mean, it's like, you know. I mean, I was talking
but you're right. I mean, there are people, you know, we've talked about this before. There are complete, you know, publishers out there now that are doing nothing more than basically specking stuff for trying to get options. They're not publishing comics because they love the medium or they're trying to.
That's what I'm saying. CrossGen was a lot of that. CrossGen started that whole entertainment wing, one, so he couldn't get sued, two, so that he could, you know, or if he got sued, he couldn't take his money. They could take CrossGen's money. And two, he was trying to turn all those into properties.
Yeah.
And he said he did turn them into properties, but I haven't heard any casting calls for.
I haven't seen any
for Ruin or.
Well, you know, Radical. I mean, and they're very transparent about it. It's like, we are trying to create properties that will translate into movies.
Dark Horse is very open about that. Absolutely. Everything they do is going to be
But at the same time, Dark Horse is publishing.
It makes good comics.
I'm saying they make no secret about that's why they're doing a lot of books they pick up. They're trying to get them into, you know, to make properties out of them.
Yeah. It was the Space Cowboy
Platinum
Studios. Yeah.
It's all they were.
Everybody at a con now. I got an option.
Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, keep your mouth shut about it, because 9 out of 10 never get made.
Sure.
You know, it's conversation. But
well, for a lot of guys, especially a lot of the smaller press guys that get options, it's good PR to hopefully build up some buzz about the book, so people will go and buy the book. You know, it's great that, hey, they may have gotten a $5,000, $10 option on something. Sure. Now they can send out a press release that says, you know, X book, you know, and it's like, go buy this book now. So, you know, so in that respect, it's good PR. Mr. Rose.
Yes.
Whenever you were here to talk about the Roberts, it was something that I know the guys at iFanboy loved it. Josh picked that as, I think, a pick of the week or a spotlight on it, which is great. I read it, loved it. For folks that maybe didn't hear that episode, tell people what the Roberts is about.
Well, the Roberts is a two-issue book that's being collected into a trade paperback, and the short story is that it's about two serial killers that live in the same retirement home. So it's the Boston Strangler.
Yep, two serial killers, one retirement home.
Yep, Boston Strangler and the Zodiac Killer, and they meet up. They don't know who each other are, but they become fast friends, and then some talking happens, some challenges, some betting happens, and all hell breaks loose.
Nice. So that's
I'm sorry, it's small press? You put it out yourself?
It's through Image Shadowline.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Which, interesting in how it was released, that it was two prestige format issues, and now the trade is coming out.
Right.
And I always kind of wondered why they decided to do two prestige instead of, like, four single issues and then a trade.
Yeah, well, their explanation was third issues never sell. So they thought, you know, make the two issues a little bit, you know, thicker and put everything in that. I really liked having it come out in that format, just because
I love prestige stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little bit more physical. It's got a little bit more weight to it. Yeah. It feels almost like you could put it on your bookshelf next to a book.
I love the old DC Elseworlds stuff that was all prestige format, because I have those with my trade. So, you know, I got the two issues of the Robert, so I probably won't pick up the trade because I have them on my bookshelf already.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an interesting way for it to come out. What's the price on the trade?
I think it's 12. It's either 12. I think it's $14.99.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it includes 50 new pages.
Ooh. Now I am going to have to buy the trade.
There's a 4-issue new story that Justin or Wayne and I worked on to kind of talk about one of the characters that may or may not have been a victim, and it kind of puts some things into question. And then it also collects. Justin did an interview with Charles Manson a few years ago, and so the actual handwritten interview is in there. Wow. He also had a correspondence with Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, which is in there, and some local artists like Kyle Bice. He has a pinup happening in there, and a bunch of cool stuff.
How do you go about getting an interview with Charles Manson?
You just write him a letter. It's really weird.
My high school reunion, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets more letters than any other person that's in prison.
Yeah. Wow. That's okay.
A lot of those mass murders, they got like a whole, you know.
Called women want to marry him.
Yeah.
Is it worse than the Shazam cult following?
Probably not as bad. at least with the serial killers, they get some that have a vagina. I don't mind. It's all.
You get like 45
years. Root hanging. It's big sausage fest. Yes.
Big sausage fest.
Pink torpedo.
With the Zodiac Killer, it interests me to know, like, what was your idea as far as, okay, what am I going to do about this character? Because other than the killings that he committed, we don't really know. I mean, he's never captured. The Zodiac Killer is never captured, so.
Exactly.
Was the Boston Strangler? I don't remember.
Well, I was just reading a thing about him because I was a big fan of the movie.
Yeah.
Tony, and they say that now they don't even think he did it.
Yeah, they're saying that the guy that was that was arrested and died in prison probably isn't the guy, because he was like a small-time crook, and he basically was like, yeah, I did it, I did it, and got all this attention.
Real weird, I Googled it because it was on the other night, and I was like, really, he didn't do it?
Yeah. So that was part of the reason, like, to kind of put these two guys in there.
It's a it could happen kind of.
Right. Exactly, yeah. And it also kind of frees things up because it's like, well, if the real Boston Strangler was never caught, we don't know what he looks like.
Sure.
And the Zodiac, who knows?
You could do anything you want, kind of. Yeah. To some degree, at least.
It is very much a dark humor book.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really, if you like dark comedies, it's if you enjoyed Bubba Hotep.
Yeah. It's not quite as slapsticky, but it's definitely got that edge underneath there. And, and
it's retirement home humor.
Yeah.
Both the
serial killers are named Robert, and they're both named after the writer's real grandfathers. And the writer and I are basically the Boston Strangler and the Zodiac Killer as old men. I drew us as the reference for us.
So do you have anything coming up after the Roberts?
I'm just working on my own graphic novel right now, which is about the most dangerous rock band in the world, but it's still sort of
Kiss?
Coming together.
Remote?
No, it's kind of the idea of how all the Christian groups freak out about whatever the new band is, the Marilyn Mansons or the Alice Coopers. Okay. Yeah, what if there was a band that was really as bad as everybody
psychotic.
Was? Yeah.
Going back to the Roberts, any hint of concern in your mind of when you were doing it of going, well, you know, these guys are out there.
You know, I thought
if they get wind of it and you know, get a letter. How bad would that be? All of a sudden, you get a letter in the mail with the, you know, Zodiac Killer.
Well, I actually thought about sending a letter to the writer like that.
Yeah, freak him out.
Yeah, to totally scare the crap out of him. But I think my wife was more scared of the idea than I was. Like, she was like, wait, these guys haven't been caught? And I was like, no. And she's like, aren't you worried about that? And I was like, I think they'd go after David Fincher before they go after
that's
me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know,
I got horrible letters with Atomica because it's God is Red. I got some religious letters that were like, oh. They were like,
yeah. I used to work for a company that made expanding insulating foam sealant, and we got nasty letters from religious organizations because we advertised on the Howard Stern Show.
Wow.
I believe
it's religious.
We made polyurethane sealant.
Too much time
yeah.
Who drew something to really help?
It's probably
the world,
all the same guy. Too.
Yeah, it's one guy. You know, in like Idaho.
I like to think so. I like to think so. But no, the Roberts was great. I hope that people that didn't pick up the first two issues definitely get the trade. It's a Image Shadow line, comes out this Wednesday, and please let us know about the dangerous rock band whenever it.
Image again?
Is that the working title on it?
Yeah, I don't have the actual. I've been playing around with band titles. You mm-hmm. know, I drive everybody nuts because somebody will say something. I'll be like, "That's a great name for a band," and I add it to the list. But I still haven't figured out the actual name for
nice.
The band.
Nice. Is looking at Image with that?
You know, I'm not sure. I want to get quite a chunk of it done because I'm going to be writing and drawing it myself this time. So. Want to kind of get a head start on it.
I'd actually let Joe Keating over at Image know that you were going to be dropping by, and yeah. he said to say hi, and he was really excited that we were going to be talking with you. So I know that the folks over at Image really like you a lot. So
how did the Roberts, well, you probably covered this in the first interview. But
go ahead.
I wasn't around, but how did the Roberts come about as far as you getting hooked up with the writer? Or, you know, was that something you guys worked on together originally, or did he come to you with
I actually, I met the writer in school. We went to the same art school, Columbus College of Art and Design in Ohio. And he started up this newspaper that was like a free newspaper in the Columbus area that eventually became a quarterly magazine that was nationally produced called Tastes Like Chicken. So it was like art and humor and music and just a mixture of everything. And right. And it was great for all of us art kids because instead of using photographs for everything, we were drawing pictures of all these people. You know,
oh, that's cool.
Got to interview, right. you know, some of my heroes. My first interview was Bill Sienkiewicz, which wow. I was supposed to talk to him for like 40 minutes, and I was on the yeah. phone for like 2 hours and 40 oh, yeah. minutes, and yeah. it was awesome.
I get 2 hour phone messages from him. Right? He forgets why he called. He just starts talking, and the next thing I know, I'm like. My wife will be like, "Who's talking?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm waiting for him to get to why he called." And he never does.
And then you hear a knock on the door.
Yeah. No, and it's like never.
My favorite thing about meeting Bill Sienkiewicz is the fact that I realized he looks exactly like one of his drawings.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
just,
yeah.
they got that frantic sort yeah, of look about him.
Yeah. That's him.
But yeah, I kind of, for 7 years we worked on this newspaper and magazine thing together, and we always had these kind of conversations like, well, what if this would happen? Or
right,
what
right.
if this, you know, and it just kind of, it grew naturally out of from those that. Kind of conversations. The idea of like Dennis Rader, the BTK killer
who oh, was yeah, just yeah, yeah.
arrested recently, that's really yeah. what came because he got away with it
yeah.
for years and years and years, and then... It was almost like it was his retirement plan.
Was he the
like,
Green Valley killer, or was that a different...
That was a different guy.
That's a different guy, the Green
it's like
Valley.
This Peterson guy now.
Yeah, that guy's... there's something wrong about that
and
guy.
He's being real
yeah.
smug about it.
Yeah.
yeah.
He says he actually said today he likes the attention.
Yeah. Oh, and...
He
and
likes the media attention.
He's getting married again.
He's getting married. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Start the clock on that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, is she like 18 yeah. or 19?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a tag on her toe already.
Yeah. 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 Yep, start
it's
the,
always
start
some
the
crazy hillbilly, too. There's no shortage of crazy hillbilly broads that will marry you. I kid you not. No matter what you do. You can like
out of the trailer, my friend.
The Siamese twins with their heads stuck together, they're getting laid because you look in the Guinness World Record and it says that they got kids. And someone's screwing these guys. You know, when I was in high school, it was like you had to have a Camaro to get laid. These guys got their fucking
now
heads.
Be a freak
they got
their
skulls fused
killer.
Together and they're getting laid. You know, and you know he did it. I mean, you know there's
oh,
no.
Yeah.
Come on. The last two, you know, and he's smug about it. And it's one of those deals we'll never know, or unless he gets old and gets no
right.
attention anymore, and finally he, you know, he slips up and
I did so, it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. Serial killers, fascinating. Yeah. They are fascinating.
They are.
Not so much anymore, but there was a period of my life where, like, I was obsessed.
Let me
with
guess, you researched it.
I did a lot of research yeah. on serial killers, and I don't remember all of it anymore. But it is fascinating.
No
I mean, it's,
women,
they're
right?
almost like
because my wife's a forensic scientist, and she said that like FBI people, when they do those what do they call it? They do those
profiles. Yeah.
No women.
White males.
Yeah.
Generally.
No
yeah,
serial time, killers. Yeah.
Ancient history, there was what was her name? I can't think of it. She,
Lizzie Borden with that.
Well,
yeah. that was just
but
that was just her
yeah,
family,
yeah,
though. That,
that
wasn't
was,
even serial killer. Yeah.
No,
Joan Collins,
Bath, something Bath.
Oh, Valkyrie.
Joan Collins,
yeah, Bath,
yeah.
Yeah.
no,
no, Joan Collins, serial divorcee. No,
I saw
there was
her the other night.
She does a lot of vampire good. Stuff that's based on her. She killed hundreds and hundreds. She was a princess or something in
yeah.
Romania.
Yeah.
I don't remember. She killed hundreds. But yeah, not very many. It's always
yeah,
like
Elizabeth
white males.
Bathory.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
They live in
yeah,
Oak
like,
Park and do
well, Bundy. One of the scariest ones to me was always
the Hillside guys were rough.
Yeah, you know,
I lived in L.A. for a while, and it was those guys are famous.
Say, a lot of them have the propensity of living in the upper Midwest as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of them from like the Wisconsin area.
Yeah, Dahmer.
Yeah, and that's where you know we were Gacy. Living, doing the magazine and everything.
Gacy
so.
Was another one.
What's the real crazy fucker? Fish.
Albert Fish.
The Russian guy. Well, there's a Russian guy that used to take people out of the woods.
Yeah, and he supposedly has like the largest body.
Yeah, he killed a lot of kids.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, real, real scary looking.
Fish was the guy they based like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre stuff on because he was an old guy and I think it was Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure.
Well, Gein was from Wisconsin.
Gein, yeah, Gein, yeah.
Well,
maybe that's who I'm thinking
about. Yeah, some of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and also Psycho's kind of based on.
Who was the guy that killed all the prostitutes? Like the truck driver. There was a woman who was doing that.
Was it?
She was posing as a prostitute. And she was picking guys up and killing them all. She killed like 9 guys.
Yeah. Oh, from Monster,
yeah.
The one that Monster was facing. Down in Florida.
8
yeah.
guys or something.
Yeah.
That movie actually showed me that Charlize Theron is a pretty amazing actress, by the way.
Ed, what's the other Ed? Or I don't know. There's a ton. No, not Ed Wood.
Oh, he just killed.
I don't think he was a serial killer. There's a lot of them.
So if you would like to know more about serial killers, pick up the rubber.
Yes, absolutely.
Studio 407 Comics is proud to present Smuggling Spirits, a pulse-pounding thrill ride through a nightmarish Prohibition-era America where humans live in fear of bloodthirsty creatures called the Darklings. A bootlegger and his young ward find themselves on the run when they stumble upon the key to destroying these monsters. As the beasts close in, the two must make their final stand. Smuggling Spirits blends the noir action of Sin City with the suspense and horror of Hellboy. From the two visionary creators, Ben Fisher and Michael Henderson, read what Rue Morgeau calls a shot of white lightning and what Comics Bulletin proclaims harsh, humorous, and altogether weird. It's a solid, entertaining read. From Studio 407, where horror is unleashed.
I was in a philosophy class once, and the conversation came about morality, and I said, you know, and the idea came of, well, what if you don't have morals? Then morality doesn't really mean anything. And that's like serial killers, like they don't even, they're like other kinds of creatures. They're not human. They're
politicians.
But they don't. I mean, like their brain doesn't function in the same way. And I think there's actually been studies on it. Where,
yeah, there's no. You know, there's no. Yeah, there is no. There's that.
There's no conscious
that switch where you know you're doing something.
And they don't have that.
And they don't have that switch. Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that it's like there's this line and they consciously cross it. But I think for the most part, like,
it's not there. It doesn't exist. It's like a.
Your wife is a forensic.
Yeah, she works for the state.
She's like CSI.
Yeah, don't say it to her though. She hates it.
They don't fuck CSI. They don't have, she says
no, because they don't have any of those fancy machines. They have no budget to speak of, and they don't have any money. And it's ironic because when Blagojevich got arrested, he used to make, when you work for the state, he used to make all state employees take an ethics test twice a year to see if you were, like, corrupt or not. And she says they have no budget, no money, you're using computers that are 10 years old.
But is there really that much sperm out in the world everywhere?
Yeah, no, most hotels, she's like, don't sit on the bedspreads in hotels, because she gets bedspreads from hotels and you turn the blue light on and the whole thing goes. She says it's just all one big semen fest. There's one little space that didn't get covered with semen. It's like the Sybaris. It's just covered. You know, there's not one inch that hillbillies didn't screw on it. The Sybaris. You can't put your elbow anywhere where it wasn't an ass at one time.
See, now Semen Fest is a good name for a band.
Semen Fest. Yeah.
And it's good and bad because she gets a lot of horrible stuff. She comes home sometimes with a lot of horrible.
Is she Chicago?
She has to keep her state of Illinois. Okay. She has to keep keep her identity, you know, secret. She has to use a fake name and can't be listed because you're worried. There's always the worry that somebody that gets
she put away, helped put away, is gonna come looking for her.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, go figure. She actually, you know, went to class in college instead of, you know,
paid attention, huh?
Drank and slept on the floor like I did. You know?
Where'd you go to school at?
I went to Southern Cal.
Okay.
Los Angeles, yeah. Couldn't wait to get out of there. My last my last semester at USC was when they had the Watts riots, when Rodney King, when they had the whole thing with the, you know. So I said, maybe I can get out of here.
Yeah, it's time to leave.
It's time to leave.
What year was that?
I graduated in 89.
Okay.
And so it was just, that whole thing was going on with the whole, you know, they were trying to burn and ding or burning the whole neighborhood. Because at USC's in Watts, so the whole neighborhood burned.
Wow.
Did you come back to Chicago after that?
Chicago, yeah. I hated L.A. It's the rectum of the world. Los Angeles. It is. The U.S. is like a body. New York is the brains, and Chicago is the heart, and L.A. is the rectum. It's horrible.
Well, I grew up in Southern Illinois, and that is very much the armpit.
No, you got the, were you close to Springfield? Or?
No, Southern Illinois.
Southern. Basically like Tennessee. Basically,
like corn? Because people that come to Chicago don't realize 20 minutes in any direction, it's just all corn.
We didn't have corn. Southern Illinois.
Oh, okay.
After the corn.
Oh, okay.
After the corn. After the
corn. What's after the corn?
After
the,
is rocks, forest, and trailer parks.
Mountain Dew. A lot of Mountain Dew.
Carbondale.
Carbondale.
Yeah.
And deer jerky.
Oh,
yeah. No, that's Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's deer jerky and
cheese. No, I grew up like
castle.
40 miles from Paducah, Kentucky. Paducah? Southern Illinois. Wow. Yeah, way down there.
That's not even Illinois.
I grew up in look on a map. I grew up in Southern Illinois and was an hour and 45 minutes south of St. Louis. I grew up south.
That's like there's still Indians living there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it not even a state yet?
I grew up.
Discovered.
No, there's no star on the flag. It's like the French still own it or something. Isn't
it how it goes?
It's a colony. Isn't it like part of the purchase yet or something like that? That's like, I get scared when I get like way out like that because I need like, I get nervous when I'm not around Mexican restaurants and broken bottles and tickets for doing nothing.
You complain about being in Oak Park.
Oak Park, to me, that is like, I'm like the rover on Mars out in Oak Park. I walk out my front door, I don't know what's going on.
That's where Hemingway's from, right?
Hemingway left.
Went to Florida.
This sucks. I'm leaving.
I like Oak Park, though.
You know, when you get married.
I'm a suburban guy. I grew up in the suburbs. So I feel about the city like you feel about the suburbs.
Of compromise when you get married. Sure. You got to do what's good for the family and all that bullshit. Completely just wring out my soul and there it is. You know.
Well, glad to hear you're happy.
No. It's nice, but it's just, it's like, you know, it's like compromise. It's like Disneyland. It's good for a little while and you want to get the hell out of there. That's Oak Park. I need to get the hell out of there. There's one comic store in Oak Park and it is a mental institution.
We go there over lunchtime sometimes.
What is that?
That place crazy.
It's a mental ward. Yeah. It's like
the piles of crap everywhere. Yeah. And
it's
just
you walk in and it's just one big just shit fest everywhere.
There's one a little bit further on Harlem, a little further south on Harlem, there's one. Not bad. It's a smaller
When you
shop.
Get into Berwyn?
Yeah.
See, I don't
you don't go that far.
Berwyn. You go into Berwyn, and that's where Italians think they're like the Jeffersons. They think they're living in the suburbs, and they got all they're all hoity-toity.
That is Guineas. And that is the home of the Chicago accent that gets, you know, if you hear people.
Yeah,
that's
Berwyn.
That is Berwyn. That is when people.
And I grew up on the north side, and it's all Sox. So anything, you know, they ask you right off, you know, Cubs or Sox. And if you say Cubs over there, they'll kill you. They'll tar and feather you. And you got to go run. When the Sox won the World Series, nobody went to work for like 4 days in Berwyn. You couldn't get a taco or a plumber or your tires changed or anything. They They brushed their tooth and went out and partied, man.
Both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides of the tooth.
Do we have a Cubs
fan
here?
Put their NASCAR jacket on and went out and partied.
So you true Northsider?
I grew up sneaking into Cub games. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. we got a Cub fan here, Sox fan here, and a Cardinal fan here.
Okay.
You don't even count. Yeah.
And then Cardinals. if we had Tom here, he's a Brewers fan. So yeah. So
I thought it was the Chicago Rush or that. What's the girls' basketball team? The Sky.
The Sky.
I think he's the Sky. Yeah.
Like four people go. When are they going to just say enough, guys?
Well, they canceled the Rush now, didn't they?
Yeah, the Rush.
No. With the girls' basketball.
Well,
just
they
stop
know,
it.
They're humorous.
I just want to go in and say stop, guys. You know, there's no rebounding to be had. Well, you know, rebounds with wherever
dunks.
The ball.
There's like
falls,
one girl that dunks.
That's who. Oh,
she
come
dunks.
On, come on. They got the dunk. You'd have to admit kicks the field goal too. Doesn't mean you put them on the team.
Well, have you been to an arena football game?
I went once with a friend of mine, and you've never been in more misery in your life.
Was that a different world? A lot of fire, flames.
It's kind of like a tractor pool with helmets, is what it is. It's just, you've never seen so many hillbillies in one place in your life. I mean,
well, I don't know.
You remember in Lord of the Rings, the guys with the pig faces that were running? That's a Rush game. That's what it's like. Where they catapult the dead bodies and all that? That's being
It did remind me of home.
Season tickets are $100. Which means $100. We just want to get you in there to sell you cigarettes and beer. That's all they make their money on. Marlboros and Old Style. The players are going, I don't know why. What? What are we doing? You get tackled and hit a mattress. It's come on, stop, guys. Cut it
out. Like nine footballs on the field.
It's a green ball, and if it goes in the stands, you keep it. And four guys named Bubba jump on you and kick the shit out of you for a $3 football. It's like, guys, go to Target and buy a football. Ball, leave me alone. Here. And they got cheerleaders, and they don't have teeth. And you get VD just
like
watching
the backup
them.
Cheerleaders
you know, they hand out penicillin at halftime because you know, crotch crickets, and their leg goes up. You see.
So what you're saying is you're not really a fan.
It was two of the most miserable hours of my life at a Chicago Rush game. I kid you not. And everybody in the stands has got that one thing in mind, like, when can I get out of here to go have a cigarette? Because all their faces, you can't smoke inside anymore, so they're all in agony like this. I've got to go smoke. You know, a pack of Newports in my pocket. It's killing me right now. I'm sorry, I'll be serious.
That's quite
all
right.
That's all Rosemont Horizon's good for now is the Rush and, you know, and the Chicago whatever.
Wrestling?
What are they called?
Wrestling?
No, never was. Wrestling. I was a wrestling guy as a kid with Dick the Bruiser, and
Crusher,
and Bob Luce Wrestling. Yeah, yeah. There was a bunch
my dad always
of Polish guys.
Yeah, a bunch of Polish guys throwing each other around. Yeah,
yeah. When my dad always told me the story about, you know, when some guy bit another guy's ear off.
Yeah.
Killer Kowalski,
yeah.
I think.
We used to go when we were kids, but that was when it was on Channel 26. We had like three channels. Now it's
was it Tuesday nights? No. I can't remember.
Channel 26.
Yeah, for anyone down in the St. Louis area, they'll remember Wrestling at the Chase. Did you ever get Wrestling at the Chase up here? There was
it was local guys, right?
Yeah.
It's like guys in a garage.
Yeah.
It wasn't like now.
No, this was
really
very
small.
Yeah, this was at an auditorium, and they would the Chase Park Plaza, and they would show this like every Saturday, I think, and it was very much in the early, it was not the Ultimate Warrior type wrestling. It was old school wrestling, you know. Now
these guys are like in great shape. These were all just big fat guys that kicked the shit out of each other.
It's more entertaining to me.
As a kid, they were good because then you had Baron von Raschke, and he would play the German guy,
right,
and he would wear the Nazi thing. I mean, you didn't have to worry about being politically correct or whatever. And he would goose step, you know, in the ring. Everybody would boom and throw shit at him, and now.
Not nearly as. Now it's like
he had the big cauliflower ears.
These guys were wrestlers.
And then those were the days when they would cut themselves.
Oh yeah,
with the razor.
Yeah, they would bleed in the ring, and you believed it. You know,
they still do it to some degree. I mean, in the lower, you know, like the smaller
wrestling circuit.
Still
I
huge,
I went
right?
To work with a guy that was
Jim McMahon and WWE, it's still huge business.
Yeah. Talk about hillbillies. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, it is. It's hillbilly opera. It's opera for hillbillies.
They
love it. But you see, we need that. Because in the Taliban, we need that. The Taliban will not fuck with hillbillies. They
will not invade Kentucky.
Kentucky, they will sleep in a hollow log and drink muddy water in Kentucky. These are guys that you could give them a gun and they go, we don't want a gun. We're going to go back to bows and arrows. In about 10 years, they're going to be hunting with rocks in Tennessee. They're going to, like, with their fingernails. They say, oh, no, it's too easy with a bow and arrow. Fuck it. We're going to hit them with the car.
All they need is
a
fucking pickup truck.
That's right. Beef and jerky and Mountain Dew. Yes. That's why the Taliban hit New York, didn't hit Tennessee.
Oh, no. Fuck no. They ain't invading.
They had seen Deliverance.
Missouri. It's cannon fodder. Every country needs the cannon fodder. The guys, like in Lord of the Rings, you just go, go, go. The beginning of 300, all those guys running, that's hillbillies. That's not the immortals. Those are Puerto Ricans. You need the other guys, you know. They come with the mask and the armor. They look him. Those are Puerto Ricans. The guys on the elephants are the guys in Berwyn. They throw the grenades and blow themselves up. Those are Italians, trust me. They don't know what the fuck they were doing.
We need to talk about the serial killers.
No, Yeah. Well, no, your book got a website or no?
No, but you can go to my website. It's ericrose.com, ericrose.com. And you can see the first 10 pages for each of the issues on there.
Okay,
and,
cool. Yeah. Doing any shows or no?
You know, I was going to go out and do the LA Con, but it got postponed.
Postponed. Oh, it's dead.
Yeah. It's dead.
Yeah,
dead,
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I think about Mocha.
Yeah.
Your book, yeah, it's books like that and mine and stuff. It's perfect for a show.
Oh, very good stuff out there.
Yeah, great show. You'd like it. It's a lot of, you know, those types of books that are, you know, independent stuff that's, you know, not about guys in capes and shit like that.
There's, yours is Image Shadowline, right?
Yeah.
Shadowline's doing some neat stuff. It always
it always
throws me off whenever I see, you know, Jim Valentino publisher, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a Shadowline book. Mm-hmm. Heathentown came out a couple weeks ago by the time that you're hearing this, and it is a former guest of the show, Gabe Hardman. Mm-hmm. Who
and his wife wrote it. Yes.
I didn't know it was his wife. Really?
Yes. Karina Sura.
Why did I not know that?
It's Image book?
Because you don't do your fucking homework.
Apparently. Well, thanks for calling me out there.
Gabe is a
great guy. Extremely talented artist. He's worked in Hollywood doing a lot of storyboard stuff.
He's storyboarded on a lot of movies, but, you know, Spider-Man 3
and X-Men.
Superman Returns and mm-hmm. X-Men. I think he did Superman Returns. Yeah, he's a great storyboarder. Yeah, nice. We met him at the New York Comic Con 2 years ago. I met him, and that's when I first saw Heathentown. He was working on it then, and he was, you know, passing around his portfolio. He wanted me to take a look at it, and I did, and I was just blown away by it. I was amazed by it, and I'm really happy to see it come out because, like I said,
guys like this
2 years ago,
piss me off because they run around with their portfolio and they got more work than they can have anyway.
Yeah, he's definitely.
I know a couple guys that work for Warner Brothers that do all the Batman storyboards and stuff for the animated. Right. And I see them at San Diego with their portfolio. And I'm
Why are you looking for work?
No. You got a full time job now, 9 to 5 drawing, and they want to go draw. Blue Beetle.
Gabe wanted to leave the drudges of Hollywood and come into the very lucrative industry of comics.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
the money in movies is 10 times better than comics.
Well, know? I don't think. Yeah, I mean, Gabe was just always a comic book fan. He loves them.
That's what Sienkiewicz does. Sienkiewicz is constantly working on movies, but he comes back to comics because the movie stuff, he says he can't take it anymore because it's just like advertising. It's soulless. You're churning it out. Yeah. You're making changes all the time, which is fine. But the stuff that he really likes is when, you know, doing the stuff for Marvel and DC.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's like you never get to see that work, too. Like, yeah. They might put out an art of book if it's a really big movie or something like that. But for the most part, you know, you don't get to see all the great work that goes behind the scenes.
Tell you what, I saw some concept art on World War Z. Do you know what World War Z? Have you heard
Max
of World
Brooks.
War Z?
Mm.
Max
Video
Brooks.
Game or book?
It's a book. Max Brooks is Mel Brooks' son. But he's written a couple books. One is The Zombie Survival Guide, if you've ever seen that. And then he wrote a novel called World War Z, which is a retelling of the zombie wars. And it's kind of told from the perspective of a reporter who's going and doing interviews after the end of the great zombie war. Yeah, it's a documentary. And so they're doing this movie, and I forget who the director is. It's just done. Yeah, it escapes me at the moment. But there's the scene in the book where the zombie masses are basically pouring into Yonkers, and that's where the military makes their one big stand and turns into a disaster. But I saw this concept art of the Battle of Yonkers, and it is badass. Yeah. It is so good. I've got I think Dan Corbett posted it on the forum.
That book is so good,
too. It is so good.
And the audio book for it.
It's great.
Yeah, it's got like a whole bunch.
Alan Alda.
Yeah, Henry Rollins is in there. Yeah. Like all these different people reading the different chapters. And
fucking Henry Rollins. God damn.
It's but yeah.
Is that bad?
No, it's just
he got his ass kicked in Heat the other night, I saw.
Was he?
Yeah, that's right. Al Pacino throws him on the ground and pulls him by the hair.
No, that's just how I remember Henry Rollins from Black Flag.
Yeah, and, you know, Misfits, that's what I'm saying. Shit, yeah.
Now he's like this political poet kind of, I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
He's still got stuff come, doesn't he? Still have do albums or no?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Did something with Madonna or something?
Yeah, he might have. I don't know. Who knows?
There's a lot of guys like that they used to really do, you know, edgy stuff. And then you see them now and they're just, you know, they're hosting Entertainment Tonight or something, you know.
I'll tell you a guy who hasn't fucking done that is Iggy Pop. I saw him at the other day. He was on some channel. He was live at the Isle of Wight.
Okay. Isle of Wight.
Concert. Doing the same goddamn show that he's done since 1973.
I saw Iggy
fucking with security guards and you know
takes his shirt off.
Pissed off. Yeah, well, he was. Yeah, I don't think he's even
pisses
had a shirt
on
off.
Stage.
Yeah, same fucking show.
I saw him. He pissed on stage.
Just,
I was like,
there's no fucking difference.
You want to meet great promiscuous artsy bitches, you go to an Iggy Pop concert. At least in high school it was. Yeah. Those artsy chicks, they don't bathe and shave, but they'll give it to you. And you go to an Iggy Pop concert and they're just everywhere. It smells like a fish market, but it's great. It's just rancid.
Well, you know, if you shit your pants on the way there, you can't fucking...
Those artsy bros, that's the way to go. But I was like, the guy takes his shirt off, pisses on the stage. I was almost like, what the hell's going on? You know, it was like, bring on Van Halen already. Where's David Lee Ross with the assless chaps on already? Ready? Stop it. You know?
Nice. So once again, Heathen Town, check it out. Came out from Image Shadow Line. It's $10, I think. And Gabe does great work, so check that out. All right, are we ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, speaking of Gabe, well,
Wind Raider from Ape Comics.
Wind Raider from Ape Comics. He's also doing
a 3-issue miniseries.
Well, he's doing backups in Agents of Atlas. The new Agents.
That's right.
Of Atlas,
he's a busy boy.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of work.
Was he working on Wolverine the movie, the X-Men?
I don't know if he did or not. He's turned down some comic book movies because he doesn't want to
be the comic book story.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It's he wants to see the movies, and he doesn't want. You know, it's like when you work on a movie, you know everything that's going on about it, and it's like there's movies that he turned down that they offered him, and he didn't want to do because he wants to see them. You know, and so he's done a bunch of the comic book movie storyboard stuff, but he's turned down some stuff. You know, for comic book movies, because he as a comic book fan, he just wants.
I do that for Ribfest. I turned out work when we're gonna have Ribfest every year. You know, Berwyn.
Yeah.
I say, guys, I can't do Wolverine.
I got Ribfest.
I got a judge at Ribfest.
Ribfest is awesome.
Ribfest is awesome. You know, they had Hootie and the Blowfish there last year. You want to talk about the mighty have fallen?
Hootie?
Yeah. Yeah, weren't they like, you know, they had huge. Their 15, they were absolutely. At Ribfest last year.
Well, Ribfest gets a lot of
you get free ribs. I'll do whatever they want. Give
they've
me free
had,
ribs.
Ted Nugent was there a couple
years
ago.
Yeah, but Ted's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Ted's is...
Hey, Derek.
I think Ted's agreement is I can hunt on the land if I play that kind of thing.
Darius Rucker, the lead singer for Hootie and Blowfish, Hootie and the Blowfish, has like the number one country record in the country.
Does
now.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, he put out a country record.
Does it really even count?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet. Oh, yeah, by the way, all the music in this episode, Social
Conway Twitty?
No, Social... No, but it does have a country social flavor distortion? And some social distortion and Mike Ness. So that was all the all the music in this episode. So okay.
Whatever little, happened to you were supposed to do Led Zeppelin?
Now how about Americans? You guys never have any Americans. There's all these foreigners.
It's this guy.
No, Mike Ness is from Southern California, dude. Right, he's from Orange County.
I'm sorry. What about like Cheap Trick or somebody local? Chicago.
We'll do Cheap Trick. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who else is local?
Chicago.
Bozo.
Bozo's Chicago.
Chicago's Blues Brothers.
Chicago, it's Smashing like the Pumpkins. Temptations, Chicago. Smashing they got guys in there. The Temptations. Yeah. There was a white guy in there last time I saw the Temptations.
They're still performing.
No,
man.
Chicago, there's all these young guys. I go, this is Chicago. Well, they got like one guy.
Where's Peter Cetera?
They got one guy, you know, left in Chicago. Well, Leonard Skinner, forget it. They all, you know.
Dead.
Yeah.
No,
The last guy died. I guess the keyboard player
trio,
just died.
Alkaline Trio, great Chicago band. You should do.
There you go. Alkaline Trio. Okay.
Alkaline Trio is awesome.
I'll take a look at that.
Great Chicago band.
Eric, thank you very much for dropping by. Appreciate
Thanks for having
it. All right.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start your free two-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 a month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no wait fees, ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop, and I love it. So head on over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today.
Tom, welcome back.
Hey, Tom.
We do a comic book podcast. I heard Ted Nugent, The Temptations.
We're talking about all sorts of things, Tom, from politics to serial killers.
I'm glad I missed out on
now, pretty much everything.
Okay, we could go extra long tonight and do some emails, or I can push those to next week.
Don't know. Who gives a shit how long our episode is?
All right. Sal, you good?
I'm fine.
Let me read them. You always read them in
I got a paper out tomorrow morning I got to get to, but otherwise I'm okay.
That's the real secret to independent publishing.
That's it. That's right.
First off, I'd like to say you can contact the show at info@aroundcomics.com if you'd like to send us an email.
Yep.
If it's clever and funny or strange, we may read it.
You have a weird, creepy tattoo.
If you have a freaky tattoo or whatever. This one is from Jay Bargy. A while back, one of you mentioned a comic about a cop or detective who was living in disgrace in a second-rate city outside, possibly across the river from the bigger city where he had previously worked. I think it was a top of the stack and or a under the radar pick. Do you know what I'm talking about? John Zulago Arzcona.
Chris, you got this one.
Oh, that's the next one. That book would be Fell by Image Comics. It's done by Warren Ellis and Ben Templesmith.
Yeah, it hasn't come out in a while. They did, I don't know how many issues of it. But,
eight
issues?
I think eight.
It's really good.
Eight great
fantastic.
Issues. Yeah, it's fantastic.
But I don't know what's going on with it now.
It's missed that slimline format. So, I love it. And this next one kind of feeds into that a little bit.
Great. John Zuluaga Arzcona said, "Hi, I just wanted to drop you guys a line and tell you how much I enjoy the show." Thank you, John. "I've been going through the older episodes, and I think it was Tom who called reader emails easy content. So I thought I'd toss in a suggestion or two aside from the generally aimless comics discussion, which is great, and the interviews, which are also good. Are you guys interested in doing creator retrospectives? There are snippets here and there that I have heard, but not an actual intentional discussion of, hey, let's talk about Brian Bendis today and how he makes us feel. It's a thought. There was a brief Grant Morrison discussion that devolved into a parking lot fight between me and Tom. But it'd be nice to hear your varied opinion.
Fight's too harsh of a word.
Slash perspectives on other creators.
Parking lot fight.
Well, just one, really. I'm a big Warren Ellis fan, and aside from his writing per se, I've always found it interesting that he seems to be doing all right just doing his own thing, although his militant stance seems to have softened in recent years out of necessity.
But the internet persona, the cynical yet hopeful writing voice, the characters who are either smoking or talking about smoking, that stuff.
Is this Warren Ellis?
I guess. Just as
who wrote this?
Yeah.
No, I just John. I'm not halfway through. Are these questions or
suggestion?
Like,
just a suggestion. Like
it's a suggestion.
Composition. It was due Monday.
We get to the end and there's a question mark.
Although
is there a question although it could in our be future.
Although it could be that there's a unanimous Warren sucks or Warren's great and show continues its merry way. Whatever works for you guys. Anyway, before this email gets away from me, too late. Thanks for putting on an entertaining show.
They know
kill
they
yourself.
Do it.
John Zuluaga from Madrid, Spain.
Oh,
yeah, that's
he's a foreigner.
Give him a drink. Come on.
Yeah, we've never done. I mean, we've done like creator spotlights, but we've never just
who
sat down and talked
shit
about
it all the time. Is it Grant Morrison?
I've had
like?
Over
every
the
show,
last
every
few.
Show is that when they don't like somebody, who don't you like, or who don't you get that everybody else thinks is fantastic?
I've got some major.
And don't
issues.
Say Alex because I work for him.
Oh, no.
I've got some. I got some major.
No. And it's just there's some people that everybody just raves over, and just for whatever reason,
I don't think there's anyone that
you don't
we unanimously
you know,
all decide that.
Like,
no, individually.
Yeah.
He's got some major issues with Brian Bendis.
I've come to the end of my rope with Bendis.
I'm not a huge Bendis fan any longer. I was at one time a big Bendis fan. Grant Morrison, not as a whole, there's work of his that I absolutely love, and there's work of his that I think is not particularly good.
Yeah.
And in recent times, I've seen.
But who do you think sucks that everybody
sucks,
loves?
That everybody loves?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And it's just, you know, it's apples and oranges. It's not like, you know.
Everybody loves.
Everybody goes nuts and lose their mind and oh my God.
I'm trying to think of somebody.
Yeah, me too.
I think that everybody loves and I.
Oh, it's, I can't say it.
Why not?
Why
he's
not?
Not alive anymore.
No, it's all right.
Michael Turner?
Right.
No,
people loved his art. Mike got the stuff out.
See, there's a lot to be said for guys that get the workout. I mean, I know a lot of great artists.
I don't think Michael Turner
can't get the workout. So, like Adam Hughes is like that. Everybody loses their mind over Adam Hughes.
But
he
can't
does
get anything done.
One cover. He can't do one cover a month.
Right.
So it's like it's one of those deals where he's like, "Oh, I work digitally, so it's faster." But yet, you still only do one cover a month, and he can't.
I don't
do that.
Think Michael Turner sucked. I just didn't care for his stuff.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think he was a bad artist necessarily.
Yeah,
and a wonderful person from all accounts I've heard. But
yeah, way to talk about the dead.
Yeah, so. Jesus yeah. Christ,
yeah. God damn, you couldn't pick anybody alive.
Chris plays the asshole this week.
Like Chris was like, I can't tell you, I can't say who it is, and he's like, Michael Turner.
Yeah,
no, it's okay. I mean, it's you can like the guy and
I'm
not like
think
the art. There's nothing,
of course,
you know. It's not a personal indictment because you don't. Like
I don't.
The guy's
I'm so even keel when it comes to stuff that. I have a hard time, and I was saying this to these guys earlier, I have a hard time really, like,
hating
generating a lot of, like,
vitriol.
Someone really sucks. I don't know if it's
just
because I got older.
Well, you don't get it, you don't buy it. Like, well, you know what, I don't buy it. You know,
I'm trying to think of someone that I just
thing.
Haven't, that I, because I couldn't even say Bendis, because I like
be
Bendis'
artists,
independent stuff that I really liked. I haven't liked all of his superhero stuff, but I've always liked... Like his crimes life that
he's
he did
short
beforehand.
Too. I don't like him. He's
short. Because he's so
very short.
Oh, so
he's
short.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody out there that I hate.
Take a look around.
Pat
Take a look
Lee.
Around.
Hmm? Who?
Pat Lee.
Pat Lee?
Yeah.
Who's Pat Lee? I don't even know
who
Pat
Lee
is.
Thinking
Lee?
Of?
Jim Lee?
No, not Jim.
No, Pat Lee did
Jim's
the...
Jim's a degenerate
did,
gambler, so you got to like him.
He did Transformers.
No. The guy
Pat
did,
Lee. Jay Lee?
Jay Lee. The most arrogant, you know... Degenerate, you know, piece of shit.
Well, you're talking about
walks around.
Level.
No. And I don't think his work is that great either. Walks around with the sunglasses on. Thinks he's Elvis Presley.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't get it. Adam Hughes is another guy that everybody talks about him like he's the second coming, and he does one cover a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like guys that can get the workout.
There's
like JR.
Something to be
a lot of people don't like JR, or they say JR. Well, no, they say
they
JR
like
is right. JR gets the book out. JR,
oh, no,
you know, can get
I got
the
no
stuff out
JR.
Consistently. Yeah. I mean, he caught a lot of heat for World War Hulk. People said, "Oh, the last
hey,
issue."
Hey, man, modern master.
No. But I heard a lot of people, and he took, you know, offense to it, and because on Newsarama and some other sites, there were people chiming in saying that they thought he mailed in the last couple issues.
Welcome to Event Comics.
And I thought it was, and I'm a big JR guy. I love JR. So, you know, I told him, I said, don't listen to those idiots that are going to get on there because they criticize everybody.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Don't ever go to Newsarama.
Simone,
if you're a creator,
like,
do not ever go to Newsarama and read the fucking posts.
Never. Never. Ever.
And never. No, I said read the posts.
No,
I'm saying never read the fucking fan posts. Read the articles and shit. That's good stuff.
If you're gonna read the good shit, then you got to read the bad stuff.
Well, you got to understand, too. It's, you know.
If you're going to take the, like, Simone's like that, who did it, who was doing, when he was doing Wolverine, there were people chiming in, and they were just saying, you know what? It's not my cup of tea.
Right.
I think the art looks great, but I don't particularly like... He lost his mind. He's like, oh, they don't know what's... I go, Simone, everybody doesn't have to like it.
Right.
I mean, it's apples and oranges, man. You're an artist. When you put your stuff out there, you got to be ready for people to say, hey, I don't like it.
You know,
I'm not a
Jim
big...
Otherwise,
Lee.
Don't set
You're
it
not
up.
A Jim Lee fan?
It's not that I'm not a Jim Lee fan, but it's just that
he's
Jim
too.
Lee... To me, Jim Lee's art hasn't changed since the first time I saw Jim Lee art, like, in the 90s. And whenever I see Jim Lee draw something, to me, it seems old. Like, even if it's... Like, when he did that Azarello Superman.
Right.
And I saw it, I was just like, oh, it just looks... To me, it just
looks... I'm certainly not as gaga about Jim Lee as I was back in the 90s, but I think he's still a very good... illustrator. I think he's, you know, and there's certainly images that he does that I think are pretty
another
awesome,
one of those
but...
degenerate Asian gamblers. I'm telling you. in the comic business. I'm telling you. First thing out of his mouth every time I see him, hey, Sal, want to play poker? That's all he ever asks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I go, Jim, yeah, like, you need my money. Get out of here. I don't want to play poker with
you. I'll have to remember that. I'll play poker with you.
No.
Degenerate
gambler.
Joss Whedon is a guy that I think.
Okay.
I should have said Joss Whedon. We agree on that.
I think Joss Whedon gets way too much fucking credit for the.
Yeah,
for
I think he gets
way too much credit. And
for
I'm
figuring
not...
out that Han Solo is cool.
You know who a lot of people in the business, I'll tell you from any, I won't tell you who, but I know a lot of artists in the business who they think is so fucking overrated and doesn't deserve all the credit he gets is Darwin Cook.
Well, fuck! I love
no, no, no.
Cook,
I'm no, no. But
I've
I'm saying artists,
guy,
artists who work their ass off
stuff.
On pages, and when they see him, you know, slopping out real fast, you know, his because of
his style,
they go, this stuff is a storyboard,
right.
And it's like they like it, but they don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah.
That's from what I hear from other comic guys.
I think that's sometimes having the problem for the.
I like Darwin.
I think it's a problem of seeing the forest for the trees and like realizing that maybe sometimes. The when you're trying to communicate something, which is what storytelling is doing, that people mistake time and like detail and stuff like
that
automatically equals more communication. Or like if I render something,
it
a
just
thousand
depends
times,
on,
yeah.
on what you're you know what when you sit down at the table, what you decide you how you want to approach it. You know, there's some guys that use photos. I'm not a photo guy. They use photo reference.
Oh, I know another guy.
And I am not. And that's not my thing. I know guys that illustrate like crazy, and they can render and paint like crazy, and that's just not my thing.
Right.
You know,
that's like the guy who does.
I'm a Kirby guy. I grew up a Kirby guy, where I think it should be the work should be a product of your imagination. And for guys that draw that style, that because Neil Adams had a huge influence on a lot of those guys.
Sure.
And when Marvel started putting out the magazines with the painted covers, that was a huge influence on guys like Alex and other guys. That's not my thing.
Well, I mean,
it's not my cup of tea when I buy comics.
We just mentioned three guys in the last couple of minutes. Darwin Cook, John Romita Jr., and Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
And they're perfect examples of, they may not, they
I did, I hate Jack
Kirby.
Oh,
no.
Overrated.
No,
Stan Lee wrote all that shit.
Come on.
Stan's an alcoholic, degenerate alcoholic.
Everyone in comics is a degenerate.
Yeah, they are. Stan got on the fucking elevator with me. He pressed every button on the elevator. I said, Stan, what are you doing? He turned around, he said, oh, I'm sorry, and he walked off. So now I had to stop at every floor because this asshole's got a martini in one hand and his dick in the other hand. I go, Stan, what floor are you on? If you don't know, stay home. You know, Spider-Man or no Spider-Man, I'm happy for you. Get off the fucking elevator, will you please? And gain some weight.
But we mentioned those
there
guys.
There goes the Stan Lee interview.
Yeah,
some old assholes need to stay home. No, you need to know when to stay home. Stan needs to stay home. Know what floor you're on, please.
I got another guy. John Cassaday. I think everybody fucking falls in love with John Cassaday.
Yeah, I could see that.
Eh, he's all right. I think he's okay. I think his planetary work is probably the best stuff he ever did, but beyond that, eh, he's all right.
He's a degenerate Irish gambler.
I don't know.
Everyone in comics gambles and
drinks a lot. Well, John drinks a lot.
Wait,
really? Because
John drinks a lot. He's Irish.
And he stole Seeley's bike.
He stole Tim Seeley's. No, he didn't.
No, that was kind of a running gag joke for a while.
But I, he's one of those guys that people go fucking. I mean, the guy just does covers constantly. He doesn't even really do any.
I mean, it's just Wolverine's face on a blank page.
And people fucking go bonkers for his stuff. And I'm like,
Astonishing X-Men's like the perfect storm of everyone ejaculating all over themselves. Oh, because it's Whedon and Cassaday, so everyone, God.
No.
As long as we get one every 2 years, I'm okay with it because it's the most pure Wolverine. It's just, it's X-Men from 20 years ago. You know, like, it's all, I mean, that's fine.
And I liked it. But yeah.
It's fine. Like, but it's just, sorry. It's
not
just,
my thing. Yeah. It's, again, it's the photo stuff and it's the realistic stuff. It's just not my cup of tea.
I mean,
if people like it and it sells,
there's a guy who posts
God bless
on his forum.
To a point, like,
God
like,
bless him.
Like
it's not my thing.
Stuff, but, you
know, there's a guy on our forum who's probably like killing himself. Right, the vicious part because we're talking shit about Whedon. Remember?
Whedon,
I don't know.
Joss Whedon.
Cassidy's good if you want to go out horse chasing. Cassidy's good. I don't know about the work, but
horse chasing.
What? You want to go out chasing horse at a con.
Literally chasing horse.
You want to chase horse at cons, John.
What you
guy.
Do is traditional horse.
Just, We're guys talking. Now, what do you want to talk about? Sewing?
Traditional horse chasing with like the
chasing
painted
horse.
Stick.
No, chasing horse at a comic show. That's like, you know, come on, it's fucking whale hunting.
How
they're
often?
Just not
wait,
a lot
wait,
there.
Wait. Do you start at Ye Olde?
It's like looking for a unicorn. You just you're not a lot there at a comic con.
Have you ever done Dragon Con?
Oh, Dragon Con in
Atlanta. I've
never did
there.
Dragon
I've
Con. Way back crazy. When.
I've heard it's a good one.
So who else can we talk shit about?
name names. I'll talk shit about everybody. Most of them don't like me anyway, so I don't care. You know, what are they going to do? Not talk to me? They don't talk to me now. The fuck do I care?
It became an angry episode.
No, talking. What, we can't have a conversation?
You're a degenerate gambler.
When did you get
degenerate gambler.
When did you get so fucking sensitive all of a sudden? He got sensitive. A minute ago, he's talking shit about, I want to cut Josh Whedon's head off. Now, all of a sudden,
that's
don't
okay.
pick on Cassidy because I said he likes chasing whores.
He
likes chasing whores. John will tell you. John, look on his resume. What do you do? Chase whores. That's what he does. Jim Lee is a degenerate gambler. I mean, it's just the truth. Stanley doesn't know what fucking floor he's on. Go up to him and say Stan. Spell cat. He'll look at you and go, Jack
Quesada?
Kirby. That's all he'll say.
What about Joe Quesada?
He's Cuban. They're all worthless.
He's Cuban. Is that what he's Cuban?
Quesada's a nice guy, but Quesada really wants to do the Hollywood thing, I think.
Yeah, he wants to be in movies.
I think he at this point, he'd rather have the whatever that European asshole's name is. That
RV.
Yeah, three letters for the first name. Cut it out.
I don't know. It's fucking...
Yeah, Avi Arad. He want that. I think that's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
Yeah. If I had, you know.
Well, he's sure on fucking TV enough to, you know, he certainly wants to.
Hey, I'm glad to see that, you know, Marvel was in the shit when he took over. You know, people may not like him, but you got to give him credit. He turned it around. You know, he realized it's a young company and he went out and he got all those asshole Europeans and got them in. And it was good for comics.
Do you like anybody?
No, I do. Jesus I just said, Christ. Why is it now you got to be from... There are no good American artists. Everybody's got to be from Europe in order to get respect in comics now.
Well,
bullshit.
No,
hire more Americans is what I say.
But the fucking problem is the Americans all want to draw like...
That's bullshit. They just think, his name is Philippe, so he's a great artist.
Go get out of here.
You got a French guy drawing Thor, for Christ's sake. Give
he's good,
break.
Though.
Yeah, but there's an American guy.
Copio.
Well, it's... Is Thor American? What the fuck?
Thor should be drawn by a Norseman.
No, we need more American guys in comics because at every comic show, all I see are all these American kids with portfolios looking for work, and they give it to some guy named Philippe.
Yeah, but the problem with all those kids want to
draw
like it's fucking 1997. They draw like Jim Lee or fucking Rob Liefeld or Todd McFarlane.
There's guys. There are guys out
there. Certainly, there are good guys out there.
But I say more guys. More homegrown guys.
You know,
I got no
problem
with a lot of
snails. You can't draw comics for me. That's how it works. I'm sorry.
sorry.
There's some great European artists.
You got to be 105 feet tall.
The cover of your last issue is done by an Italian.
Because he owed me money.
He's a degenerate gambler.
He is. He is. Simone needs a bar of soap. He's a sweetheart, but he's got a babe. Got to hold him down and get one of them fucking Silkwood showers. Scrub his ass with a Christmas tree branch. I swear
he doesn't have dreadlocks.
Just have like lava soap that you use like when you clean car parts. You need to wash his ass with.
Simone, Sal, talk about Graham Morrison. Ask him about Graham Morrison.
We heard the shit in his pants. I told you, he shit his pants,
and he's like a James Bond villain.
I don't want to get the reputation like I hate fucking Grant Morrison.
He shows up with those fucking orange suits on like he's picking up garbage on the highway. I go, where are you going with that
Sal
fucking suit?
Extra pleasure from that Grant Morrison shitting himself. Yeah, wow. Because he hates Grant Morrison.
It's nice to take... I don't hate Grant Morrison. I just nice to take him down a fucking peg or two,
he walks around with a fucking cigarette holder, for Christ's sake. Like he's fucking Ricardo Montalban. It's like, hey, asshole, come back to the UK, get out.
Here's how this show works. We all pick someone that we get labeled as hating. You hate Grant Morrison, or do you want to pick Joss Whedon? Who do you?
I don't hate Joss Whedon. I like Joss Whedon's work. I just think it's
overrated.
Oh, stop backpedaling. Just say what you think. Pretend it's off. The recorder's
off. I give a shit. Who do I got to fucking impress?
Well, then what are you worried about? What are you running for fucking Congress? All of a sudden, he's a nice guy. And he's well groomed. Who gives a shit? Just say you hate him.
I don't hate him.
I am running for Congress.
I don't hate anybody. Tom for Congress.
Candidates 2010.
There's a spot open.
I haven't read a comic in 15 years. I'm kidding. I don't even know what's going on. That's why I picked Jim Lee. I still remembered him.
I hate Grant Morrison fans. I don't hate Grant Morrison.
That's better. That's a better thing to pick. It's to pick like people that are really big into it. It's easier to pay because I'm sure Grant Morrison doesn't care what you think.
No.
But Grant Morrison fans
very much fucking care what I think. Yes. Because if you don't agree with them,
you're stupid.
Yeah, I am. I have very low IQ.
You didn't
IQ.
Read it right.
No, I can't understand it.
You didn't.
And that's why I have such hatred.
You read Final Crisis, but no one clued you in on the order that you're supposed to read it, which is not the order in which it was released.
I should have guessed it correctly.
Nor the fact that Batman 682 and 683 are apparently important, but yet we're not labeled with anything that would tell you.
Well,
you are stupid because you didn't know that.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
It's layers.
See, I can talk shit about other people, but it's okay if you guys are talking shit about each other, I have sensitive feelings. I don't say anything about you guys. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
What do we say about you?
No, I'm saying you guys are cutting each other down now.
No, we're not. We're making fun of Grant Morrison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're cutting down other fans.
Okay.
Yeah. We feel more comfortable with that.
It's a subtle
what
kind
do
of...
I know?
It's like a subtle
I know
line.
Nothing.
A subtle line.
I know less than nothing.
Tom and I cut down Chris.
Yeah.
But Tom and I don't cut down each other.
Okay. And Chris takes all his anger and just holds it inside.
And why? Why?
That's what the Jim Beam is for?
When he drinks that Jim Beam.
That's what the Jim Beam is for.
And strong enough to take it.
Oh, okay.
I gotcha.
That's why.
He still gets home to cry himself.
Yeah. Speaking of strong enough to take it, I see a police showdown
in the future. Some sort of like barricade.
Yes. We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it on last week's show, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. But I want to thank everybody out there for listening to us talk about this shit for the last 3 years.
Oh, our anniversary! A big three-year anniversary.
Yeah, it's our three-year anniversary.
Yeah,
bullshitting for 3 years.
No one can stop you from putting out.
Really,
podcasts.
3 years? Did you start it here, or where'd you start it?
Actually, we started over the internet.
The Admiral Theater
Skype.
On Lawrence. And
hey, that's right around the corner from my house.
I don't remember.
We carved it out of a bigger
podcast. I don't
even
remember, quite honestly, where we started doing it. Was it Skype, right?
Skype. And then for 10.
Here's the secret about podcasting.
3 years.
You can do it forever because no one can stop you.
Yeah, no one can stop you.
Right. Yeah.
How does it work now? You said you've got listeners all over, right? Africa.
All over the
Antarctica,
world, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's that World Wide Web thing.
Berwyn.
Canada.
Anybody can
listen. Yeah, we have listeners in Berwyn.
Suburbs.
Yeah. You can probably get it from where you are.
I doubt it.
Oak Park's got a library with access, right?
It continually amazes us how many people listen.
Yeah.
It's
now they're going to come up to me at cons and talk shit.
Oh, it could happen.
Most of our listeners don't really give a shit.
I don't care. I don't care. See, that's the difference. I don't care. You know, I mean, it's one of those. Everybody that I talk shit about, I've said it to their face already. Like Stan, I told him he's a degenerate asshole. So he knows, you know.
Well, you know,
he took credit for it.
He did.
How come you don't go off like this on the other podcast you're on all the time?
What am I?
I never hear you fucking slamming.
They call me once in a while when somebody cancels.
Your Uncle Sal. What are you talking about? You're not. Come on.
Those guys, it's like, I don't know if I offended, but look on the posts after I'm on, and I'm always pissing people off. They say I...
You?
No, I can't imagine. They say I talk too much shit. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to get on here and talk about? Like, you know, like...
What are we talking about?
What do you want from me? I mean, we're on here talking. We're just a bunch of asses talking about comics, so don't ask me that.
You know, in a weird, because the whole comics thing is a pretty small group whenever you look at it industry wide,
like
and
listening.
This has been a long overdue invitation to have you here.
Nice.
And it's like I didn't want to kind of step on Brian and Peter's toes
at
CGS.
Nice guys.
I mean, honestly,
I like those guys. I like being on it, but I got the impression that from what I saw. Of the forum that a lot of the guys on there were like, oh, you know, he's too this or he's too that, and it's like, all right, if it's not their thing, then that's cool. But this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do, and I just think it's just guys sitting around talking about comics, and why can't we talk about comics? Why does everything have to be a certain way? PC and everybody's nice and it's all buttons and bows. If a guy's an asshole, he's an asshole.
Degenerate gambler.
Yeah, it's full of degenerate gamblers. That's a good thing.
Drunks, degenerate gamblers. That's why it's so fun.
Hobos, whore chasers, chasing whores. That's good. John will tell you he chases whores.
Thieves.
Seattle's full of hobos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a hobo town. That's the name of the team. Shouldn't be the Mariners. It should be hobos.
The Seattle hobos.
Seattle hobos. Yes, with a cigar butt.
If we ever get Scotty on the show with Sal, the place may just light up.
So you guys get up and leave and just let them talk.
Yeah, it may just light up.
Scotty Young.
No, Scotty Young. Artist. He has
I bet Scotty should
name?
Himself.
I know the name. What is
he's
he doing?
I bet he's the Young X-Men. He's doing The Wizard of Oz right now for Marvel. Oh,
okay. No, I know the name. That's why I was wondering.
He's a
Chicago guy, right?
Yeah. Well, he was.
He was Generation X. He did Generation X.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, that's what I'm saying. He's a young guy. Recognize the name right away. Yeah.
He's a young gun. Right. He was on our show for about a year.
Yeah, about a year. He was a regular.
Yeah, you guys, it took 3 years to call me. I only live, blocks away.
I thought you were from L.A. or something. I don't know, New York.
What are you talking about?
I don't fucking know. Yeah.
Well,
you got that jet set attitude.
You got that international man of mystery.
See? Oh, Sal, what's wrong with you? Why are you so angry? Look at this. 3 beers, he's talking shit already. Look.
That's my fourth.
He's at a fucking Leonard Skinner concert all of a sudden. Look at him.
I got a Jay Giles band.
You gonna shit yourself on the way out? Smoke some hash? Yep, what are you gonna do?
I got a Jay Giles band bootleg at home.
You gotta change the bong water on occasion too.
Well, for people that want to come
and yell and tell
Sal that he's a horrible person, you can always see him at the Windy City Comic Con.
Yep, absolutely.
In September, so there you go.
They know what I'm
at. Well, I tell you what,
you don't hide.
Can we invite you back again to be on the show?
Whenever you want.
All right.
Just give me like 24
hours. Get him out of Oak Park. He's
talk to my parole officer. Yeah. Oh, honey, I gotta go do an interview.
Well, we will do that.
Ankle bracelet. We need something to. If you wrap foil around it, it blocks the.
Just whenever you guys want, just call me. But like I said, I've been on shows where I. Oh, tell us about Atomic Gun. And then I hear it, and it's the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. Where artists, some guys that get on and they get that self-absorbed, it's me crying out, and no one cares. It's like, I hear artists, and they're so full of shit sometimes with this, it's the inner child in me, and it should be just a bunch of guys talking.
Sure.
A bunch of shit. That's,
I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
If you have an inner child, you can...
He's gone, would be man. The torched a long time ago. He's living in Oak Park now, next to 290.
The inner child.
Yeah.
He's still at home.
I think you found a place that you can feel at home at.
I'm at home, yeah.
All right. Before we get into all of our announcements, if you do want to find out about Sal's inner child...
Mercury Comics.
MercuryComics.com.
It happens.
Yeah.
I'll be in. If you want to talk shit or just throw something at me, I'll be in New York Comic Con, and it's a WonderCon, and Windy City Con.
Nice. WonderCon's a good show. That's the San Francisco show, right?
Yeah.
I was getting WonderCon food, and MegaCon.
Man. I gain weight every time I go to San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a good town. I didn't spend as much time in San Francisco proper last year as I should have. I was really, you know, at the con and just saw a bunch of homeless people at 8 o'clock in the morning walking out of a Starbucks.
You should be used. That's the crowd you kind of hang with in Chicago.
Yeah.
No, that's Seattle.
Oh, Seattle's hobos.
Seattle's hobos.
We went through this.
Yeah, Excuse me, sir. Would you have money for beer?
Yeah, no, they do.
All right. You heathens. I'm gonna tear through these announcements, so give me just a second.
Hurry.
Here. All right. The Hero Initiative. We, as always, are
hillbilly and a rush game.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support, or for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who've given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. Seriously, go help Hero.
They're good guys here.
Yep, absolutely.
They always do con-exclusive prints, too, at Heroes a lot of times. They did a great Gene Colan.
If you want sketches from artists, that's the time to go to the Hero.
Actually, it worked. I mean, it's not just one of those, you know, bullshit charities. There's a lot of the old-timers that are, like, you know, getting into that area, like the classic Golden Age guys. Sure. That a lot of them need help, man.
Yeah. Hey, man. So, you know, Iron Man makes, you know, tons of money at the movie theaters. Yeah. Gene Colan shouldn't be hurting for medical help. So
absolutely.
And to Marvel's credit, they did step up and help him out with that. Yeah. But Hero is there to help creators of all types out there that have worked in comics. All right. Thanks for our iTunes music reviews. Always appreciate seeing those. This week's iTunes music reviewers, Mao Chi Min. And Mao, I'm working on the audio quality. Hopefully you're still listening.
He didn't hate it.
He said that, you know, we changed over our software recording the program, and I'm working on the levels to make it louder. It just has taken me a few weeks. So sorry, Mao. It beats pain. For it is another person. Sea Monkey, KT Geek, Clark Hall, and Dr. K. Thank you guys. That's a great way to help spread the word about the show. So drop by the iTunes Music Store and leave a review if you can. You can also give us feedback on this episode and continue the conversation by going to our forum at aroundcomics.com. And Sal and Tom and I are all on Twitter. I'm Twittering less these days, but
Twitter blows. Every time I open up my TV, I just like Twitter. There's like three people on Twitter. Berlin.
They sell TVs in the shopping mall.
No, that's Twitter.
Right? I love Twitter.
No, you love Twitter.
What is it?
It's like a social networking thing where like No, it's not porn.
It's kind of like porn. All of a sudden, it's fucking Ernest Hemingway over here. I don't know what the... It's legal.
It's like Facebook. God bless you. It's like if you took Facebook and all you had was the status and you didn't have like...
It's like stupid little nonsensical comments by people.
You're just not reading it right.
Tom, all I know
if
is
you
I
read it in the right order.
I open up fucking Twitter.
All right.
I want to say is shut the fuck up.
Enough. All right.
You're not reading it in the right order. There's layers. You're not understanding the layers.
Windy City Comic Con. Remember to make your plans to attend the 2009 Windy City Comic Con, taking place on Saturday, September 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're adding over 30 new creators to our guest list this year, along with new retailers and expanded programming schedule. Visit www.windycitycomiccon.com for more information. And you can also buy your tickets for the show ahead of time. Please pre-register today. Tickets are $10. Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. It's like, that's great. You guys are starting early. No, that's great. No, I was complimenting. Don't get so huffy.
I don't want you to call
You're
me
pissed off about Twitter with the
gambler.
Fucking bullshit camouflage.
I got gamble debt to pay for, goddammit. I got to go to this fucking
See, you admitted it at least. See?
You can listen to Tom on Tom versus the Slash. On Tom versus the Flash. You can listen to more of me, God, if you want to, on 11 o'clock comics with David Price, Vince B, and Jason Wood. Check out our buddies at ifanboy.com. As always,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're good people. Everybody. They're good people.
Sal and I are starting a podcast.
Listen to John Sentris' Word Balloon.
Where's the love? Yes. Hey. Fuck off, it's called. Right. Start with Twitter.
we'll start with Twitter.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us this week. Sal Avenatti, Derek Rose, Tom Caters, and Brian Salazar. You'll come out.
Eric Rose. I'll come out of my show.
Oh, Eric Rose. Not yeah.
Derek Rose. I'm like, the Bulls?
Point guard from the Bulls.
Yes, the point guard. Point guard for the Chicago Bulls, Eric Rose.
Holy shit.
All right, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next week with another full-length episode.
It got real quiet.
In the meantime.
I got to shave, guys. I've been here so long.
We'll be here.
My license just expired, you know?
And around comics.
I'm going to get outside and people are going to be in hover cars.
Shut the fuck up!
It's true.
They towed my car away.
You're using gasoline in your car?
Yeah. Is this yours?
Savage?
Yeah. Michael J. Fox was out there. The DeLorean. I walk outside. Yeah. Charlton Heston's on a horse.
Banana fields.
Someday I'll return. Did I really think that this time it would work? You know how long it would edge. All I'm present bound. I did a crime, but too many times. It's only ounces of town, but I'll have a tracks where the country moonshines. All I'm present bound. Tell my
views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.
Expression or action, like Johnny says, I walk the line with three hearts and a cot. And a lot of talk would lock up confidence.